curious this morning. By a show of hands, how many of you have ever received something? You opened up, maybe it was a gift or whatever, or someone gave you an anonymous gift, and you opened it up and you thought, what is this? You didn't know what it was. Anybody? I got one of those gifts. There's this, I don't even know what it's called, to be honest with you, but as a new motorcycle owner, when I got my motorcycle, my good friend Scott sent me a little gift, and it came in the mail, and it was just this, I didn't know what it was. It was a little bell. Apparently, it's a tradition to put these little bells on your motorcycle. I guess it's to ward off evil spirits or whatever. Whatever. I got God riding with me, so it's not that. But it was a fun little thing that motorcyclists do for one another. I don't remember what it's called. It doesn't matter. All I know is I got it, and I was like, okay. Ting a ting a ting a ting. I rang the little bell, and I stuck it in my desk drawer. And a couple of weeks later, Scott goes, hey, did you get that thing I sent you? I'm like, thing you sent me. And like, it didn't have his name on it, so I didn't know even where it came from. It was just this thing. I thought a missionary sent me something from the missions field, and I just had no idea what it was. I was like, cute. Well, then once I found out, of course, I put it on my bike. But once you find out the purpose of something, it increases in its value almost immediately. When you find out, you know, whatever it is, I have a shirt that has a little logo on it. And it's one of my favorite shirts to wear. My good friend Rob gave it to me, and it's got a little logo on it. It's not really a logo. It's a picture or an image of something that probably no one under 30 in the room will even know what it is. But it's a yellow, it's a black shirt with a yellow symbol, and the yellow, and people think it's a symbol. My daughter even thought it was a symbol of a Marvel character or something. I said, do you know what this is? She goes, yeah, it's like a Marvel character or something, right? I was just kind of laughing. You know what it is? It's one of those inserts that you put in a 45 record. Hello? I mean, wave at me if you know what I'm talking about. That's what it is. And I wear it around, and you'd be surprised how many people come up and they go, nobody knows what that is, is it? I mean, yeah, it's pretty funny. But there are always people that are my age or older that say, I know what that is. It's amazing. If you didn't know what it, if you didn't have one of those, by the way, back in the day, you had to kind of try and center it on your own. You needed those things to make the record work. Records were these round things. When you find out something's purpose, its value increases. I want us this year to just start off right off the bat knowing our purpose in God. And I want us to stay hinged to our purpose this year. Rick Warren, in his book, Purpose Driven Life, the very first question he answers is, what on earth am I here for? What a great question. I'm not coming out of that book today, but I thought that title was a wonderful thing to think about. There are a lot of things in life that we could give ourselves to in 2019. I'm sure there's many good things that we could give ourselves to this year. But I want us to give ourselves to the very purpose of God for our lives. The purposes that are assigned by God. I hope you have notes this morning and you received those as you came in. Let me read Colossians chapter 1. And I think this sums up our greatest purpose pretty well this morning. For this reason, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will. That's me. I want to be filled with the knowledge of God's will this year. In all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that I may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, for all patience and long-suffering with joy, giving thanks to the Father who's qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of his love, in whom we have redemption through the blood of Jesus and forgiveness of sins. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation, for by him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on the earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or power, all things. Everyone say all things. All things. All things were created through him and for him. All things were created through God and for God. You were created in the image and the very likeness of God, and you were created with a purpose in your life. Paul said everything that was created, even things you can't see, the invisible, the angels, they were created by God. We were created by God, and that is our primary purpose here on earth, is to worship him. We are a pleasing sight to God. One of the great questions that was asked during the Reformation was, what is the chief end of man? In other words, what's the main purpose of God? The main or chief purpose is to glorify God and then enjoy God's presence forever. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. You know, you can enjoy God today. It's not one day in the sweet by and by. Remember those old songs? Those are true songs. One day we will get to heaven. It will be sweet. It will be amazing. You'll have glorified bodies. They won't feel like they do today. Anybody? Amen or ouch? Ouch. That's for me. We'll have glorified bodies. It'll be sweet. But you can have God's glory over your life every single day. And how do we stay hinged to God's purpose on our lives? The first thing is this. Determine to make getting God's word into your heart a top priority. I'll give you a second to fill that in. Determine to make getting God's word into your heart a top priority. Paul said, first of all, in this scripture, that we can glorify God and enjoy him forever by being filled with his knowledge and all of his wisdom and spiritual understanding. One of the greatest ways to stay hinged to God's great purposes in our lives is to make God's word a top priority this year. Make coming to church, let me be practical, make coming to church a top priority this year. Statistics are getting worse and worse as years go on, as they do these crazy statistics. And by region, by the way, it's even worse. Some regions are better than others. In the Bible Belt, people, they go to church pretty much every week. But in Southern California, it's down to 2 Sundays a month. And they consider, and the category is, I consider myself a regular attender if I attend a church 2 Sundays a month. I want to encourage you as a pastor to attend church. Make it a top priority. I remember a day when nothing would stop me from going to church. I grew up in a church that basically you went to church every Sunday and that's just what you did. I was Catholic, okay? How many raised Catholic? I'm just curious. Okay. So we also, not only did we go to church every Sunday, but I was in Catholic school, so I went Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. And God forbid that there be a holy day of obligation on a Saturday, because then I went Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Oh, that's a lot of church. Well, it's interesting. Some went out of religion, and some went out of faith. So you can approach God, you can approach your church life the same way. You can go out of religion, or you can go out of faith. Faith says, I'm going to go because God's. I have a chance to meet with God. Religion says, I'm going to check something off my list. I'm just going to go to make myself feel better. God forbid we had something going on a Sunday. And here at this church, we have that option. By the way, you can come on Saturday night if you got something going on Sunday. So you just, the priority and my encouragement is don't miss out on the fellowship with God. It's not about, unfortunately, many times, to be honest, going to church became more important than meeting with God. It's not about going to church. It's about having a chance to meet with God and being around the fellowship of the brothers, to forsake not the assembling of ourselves together. This is not my clever little pastoral ploy at the beginning of the New Year's resolutions to say, please put this on your list. That's not where I'm going. I'm saying make meeting with God a priority in your life. Stay so full of the Holy Spirit throughout your week that you just can't wait to get to church on Sunday or Saturday night or whenever. Make meeting with God. And obviously, we have things that happen that come up, and you have life that happens, and you have birthday parties. But I can remember a day, again, out of religion, that we wouldn't let anything stop us. Somebody's in the hospital, we still went to church. It was about the faith for some. For me, it was about the faith. I think in some degree that Jesus, if we could be honest with you, Jesus is more interested not in our religious duties, but in our relationship with him. In meeting with him, wanting to meet with him. The Bible says where two or three gather in his name, there he is. So I don't want to miss out on it. I want to encourage it. Make it a priority. Make getting here early a priority for church. Come and pray 10 minutes before the service. I remember growing up in the church that I grew up in, we showed up early and we sat there and we prayed until the church service started. It was just, you know, we didn't come hours early. We came a few minutes early. It was just what we did. And it was out of reverence for the meeting with God. So it's just an encouragement that, you know, and what are we talking about? We want to go into greater things. If you want to get greater things, we got to do better. Our discipline's got to be better. We got to switch our disciplines. You know, you want to lose weight, you got to cut some things off. You got to add some things. It's not about cutting things out. It's about adding some things. So you might want to do, you know, a little workout or whatever. It's about moving into greater things this year. Well, spiritually speaking, and I've encouraged you over the last couple of weeks, what if you just turned up the heat just a little bit in a couple of areas of your spiritual walk? Where will you be 52 weeks from now? This time next year, where will you be in a spiritual sense? Where will you be? You know, you don't have to, I mean, it's just like losing weight. You don't have to lose 100 pounds overnight, but you might could lose it in a year. But it starts with a single decision. Well, spiritually speaking, you might need to lose some things. You might need to gain some things. But how do we do that? By making God a priority. And I've experienced how in church life, when we find out something's messed up, that will oftentimes overcorrect. Anybody like driving rain in San Diego? My first rainstorm in San Diego 16-ish years ago, I was at a golf tournament in Mission Valley with a bunch of pastors, and we got about three holes in, and this is just dumping. I'm like, I'm out of here, guys. I'm not playing. See you later. And I started heading back to Alpine, and I got about almost home, and I saw this big truck, and the big trucks think that nothing can stop them, and so they just keep going, and nothing does stop them. They just wipe people out. And I saw the guy coming, and I could see it playing out my, and I grabbed both hands on the wheel. I'm in the slow lane about Greenfield, and all of a sudden, I see this truck, and he loses traction, and what does he do? He overcorrects, and as soon as he overcorrected, he spun out and wiped me out, pinched me right up against the guardrail. It was kind of cool, because nothing happened. I just got pinched, and then I just kind of slid forward, and I watched him go down the, like 400 yards away. He just kept going. I'm like, wow, that was crazy. What did he do? He overcorrected. Spiritually speaking, when we find out something's messed up in our walk spiritually, if we're not careful, we'll overcorrect, and we'll think that we'll just let the pendulum swing in a whole different direction, and that can be just as unhealthy. I want to correct some things, and we need to be careful not to overcorrect like we do with many things in life. I know my motive in saying all that this morning is this, that, again, not just to get you to come to church, but to come with an expectation of meeting with God. Come with that expectation. You know, it never ceases to me as a pastor how many times that I run into people in the foyer afterwards, in the lobby afterwards. They'll say, you know, Pastor, you know, I really learned something today. Yeah, and I'm like, wow, thank you. Or, hey, that was for me, Pastor. Or, gosh, I really didn't even feel like getting out of bed this morning, but I came anyway, and I'm so glad I did. What am I talking about? Having a sense of expectation that God's going to meet you right here. The discipline. Let me add to you one more thing, and I'm adding some things just as practically speaking. But make reading the Bible, God's Word, a priority every single year. Even if it's for just a few minutes, even if it's just for a few verses. My good friend Rob Rozell, in his book, Chapter 7, he talks about the law of exposure. The law of exposure is what you expose yourself to on a regular basis, you'll be like. So get into the Word of God. I want to be more like Christ. Why am I pulling my phone out? Because you're texting right now, and so I'm going to text you back. No, I'm playing with you. But I got a Bible. If you have the YouVersion Bible app on your phone, there's a Bible plan to read the New Testament through the year. We're only on January 5th today? 6th. Well, I already did my Bible reading, so you'd think I'd know that. But we're on the 6th. So we're only 6 days in. And so you're not that far behind, and you can catch up really quick. But the Bible reading plan, you can join it. And I've got a whole bunch of people in here. And we read it. And then there's a place to talk it over. So you type in some observations you got. And then, by the way, for those of you that are like me sometimes, I have a hard time reading the Bible many times, especially if it's something I've heard before or I've read before. Because my inner voice is, I know what my inner voice sounds like. So this Bible app is so cool that you can just hit this little button right here.
As he saw the crowds gathering, Jesus went up on the mountainside and sat down.
And not
Jesus
only that, gathered around him, and he began to teach them. Now that's funny, because
God blesses those who are poor and realize their need for him. For the kingdom of heaven, so that's
regular speed. But if you're like really in a hurry to read your Bible,
for they will be comforted. God blesses those who are humble, for they will inherit the whole earth. God blesses those who hunger and thirst for justice.
So now you've just cut your discipleship Bible time in half by doing it two times. And now I'm just having fun with you, but I'm just saying, we've made it so easy. That's so easy nowadays. And I remember hearing stories about villages in China where they would get a page of the Bible and they would memorize it and they'd pass it around because it was illegal to even have the Bible. They would pass it around. You got it right there in the palm of your hands, potentially. And it literally takes 6 minutes to do the daily devotion. By the end of this year, you will have read the entire New Testament and you will have read it alongside of some other people. The other part that's cool about it is there's a little place in there you can put a notification. And so it pops up at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Hey, you haven't done your Bible yet. Let's me know. And then as soon as my wife makes a comment, it pops up and says, Christy made a comment about it. And so that's also a reminder. Oh, everybody's commenting. You got to get your two cents in too. Hey, we spend all this time debating over things on Facebook. Let's talk about the Word of God this year. Oh man, that was so good. Y'all, I'm trying to help you out here. And we want to get better this year. Amen. Jeremiah says it this way. When I discovered your words, I devoured them. You are my joy and my heart's delight, for I bear your name, O Lord God of heaven's armies. Every time we read our Bible this year, here's a little tip. Every time you read that same scripture you've heard 1,000 times, ask God to reveal something brand new to you, and he will. For God so loved the world that he gave it. Oh, yeah, I've heard that before. Don't just read past it. God, show me. The second thing is this. Again, we want to stay hinged, determined to be pleasing and fruitful to God. I love the imagery of being fruitful. It's a great metaphor of being fruit. We are called to be fruitful for God. I love that. I want to fulfill my purpose. I want to be fruitful. The scripture says in John chapter 15, and I apologize because in your notes I have the New King James Version. Not that that's the problem, but I discovered late in the afternoon yesterday, a branch of me that did not bear grapes, and every branch that is a grape that is grape bearing, he prunes back. So it will bear even more. You are already pruned back by the message I have spoken. Live in me, make your home in me, just as I do in you. And in the same way that a branch can't bear grapes by itself, but only by being joined to the vine, you can't bear fruit unless you're joined with me. I am the vine. You are the branches. When you're joined with me and I with you, the relation, intimate and organic, the harvest is sure to be abundant. I love that. The harvest is sure to be abundant. Separated, you can't produce a thing. Anyone who separates from me is dead wood, gathered up and thrown on the bonfire. But if you make yourselves at home with me and my word be listened to and acted upon, this is how my Father shows who he is. When you produce grapes, when you mature as my disciples. In a nutshell, in order to produce spiritual fruit, Paul says, to walk in our greatest purpose, stay connected to the source, which is Jesus Christ. And when we stay connected, we will produce fruit. I believe that. I believe that that's what God sees in us. Notice, too, that because we're in the vine, we're protected and we're provoked. Even it says you'll ask things that are on the heart of God for you. In other words, you'll begin to pray. The closer you get to God, the more you're like him, the more you start actually praying the heart of God over your life. We can pray prayers and throw things up and just kind of throw things up and hope something sticks. Or we can get close to God, know the heart of God, and begin to pray prayers that are in line with his perfect will for your life already. Praying the good, pleasing, and perfect will of God. God wants to answer our prayers that are prayed in his will. Here's what the scripture says in Psalm 37. Take delight in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. I love that. If I take delight in the Lord, in other words, if I take the time to get close to God, go to church, spend time in prayer, spend time in my word, if I take the time to get to know the heart of God, he'll give me the desires of my heart. In other words, he'll begin to put his desires in me. I'll start desiring the things that God wants for me. I can desire things all day long, but those things have an end that could be death for me. But if I desire the things of God and his perfect will for me, I love the message. It says, keep company with God. Get in on the best. Oh, it's great, isn't it? Keep company with God. Hang out with God. Get in on the best. Know this, though. Any healthy, well-cared-for tree has to have some pruning from time to time. The pruning is the time where you cut away the dead parts or even the suckers, if you will, of the parts of the tree, the things that suck life out of the tree. That pruning process is not exactly fun at times. How many enjoy the pruning process? It's not fun. But here's the thing. You need to know that when God is pruning you, he sees fruitfulness. He has your fruitfulness on his heart. He's taking things away from you or causing you to put things aside that are holding you back from your fruitfulness. And every single healthy tree, there's a pruning or a vine, if you will. There's a pruning season. And here's what I want to say. If you hear nothing else this morning, I feel like prophetically God wants to say this to you. Because some of you may feel like that you are in a pruning season right now. And let me say this. The season you're in was never meant to define you, but to refine you. This is not how your story ends. You will get through this and you will come out greater if you just hang on to the Father God. You believe that this morning? brings me to the third point, and that is this: determined to be more patient and full of joy, even in the Walmart checkout line. When somebody's writing a check, there's a pterodactyl. And I mean, how old are some of you guys like checkbooks? I haven't had a checkbook for 20 years. Determined to be more patient and full of joy. Patience and long suffering, he talks about in the scripture. It may be hard for some of us to develop and even get good at it, but if we're going to pursue God's greatest purpose, this is one of the things that we need to, you know, try to have in our lives. And by the way, it's a fruit of the Spirit. Patience and joy. It's his fruit, and he's producing it in you. But you stay close to him, it will happen. To be long-suffering is to have a long temper, to have self-restraint over a natural thing when it would be totally normal for you to go off in a situation. Anybody ever caught yourself doing things the right way when you used to do it the wrong way? Somebody wronged you, and instead of, you actually bit your tongue this time? Anybody, maybe it was over Christmas holidays? Is that relative? They started spouting off again about something, and instead of getting in the fight like you did the last 27 Christmases, this year you just went, you know, it's not worth it. I'm going to enjoy my turkey or ham or whatever. Right? We can be patient and long-suffering, and when we're long-suffering, all of a sudden, there's something. The reason why I'm saying patience, long-suffering, and joy, it's kind of put together, because when you catch yourself doing things the right way, you kind of go, hey, check me out. There's almost a joy to it. And it's not like you could do that because you were really bad at it last year. But this year, because you stayed so close to God and you were patient and long-suffering, he produced that in you. All of a sudden, there was a joy about it. It was like, man, that was almost a pleasure to not get in an argument this year. That was fun. Everybody else got to arguing, and I went in the other room and watched football. It was awesome. Go Chargers today, by the way. Saying. God is both the source and our example of long-suffering. He's the source of our long-suffering, and he's the example. He's long-suffering with you. He's patient with you. He's still waiting on you. This year, in fact, the scripture we looked at last week says he longs to bless you. He's literally longing to bless you. God wants to bless you. He's waiting on us. Paul said we can do this with joy. And lastly, determined to be thankful. I want to be more thankful this year. I want to stay hinged to the purposes of God. Well, we need to be thankful. Now, listen, we need to have more memory of what God brought us through than the things that that went wrong this year. What more went right this year than went wrong? Amen. Otherwise, you wouldn't be sitting here. God is a good God. We need to focus on the good things that God has done in our lives and determined to be thankful in our lives. The reason we should be thankful is because the reality of it is God qualifies us. Nothing you and I can do qualifies us to even stand before God and to get in on this abundant life. Jesus is my qualifier. That's the reason why we did communion this morning. Jesus qualifies us. In Deuteronomy 28, Moses said to the people of God that if we would keep the commandments, that the blessings would come upon us. When I read those versions from time to time, I think to myself, well, that sounds great, but the truth is I'm not that good at keeping every single one of the laws. I make mistakes. Anybody else? Thank God we have Jesus that qualifies us, that he pays the price for my mistakes. If I do sin, he's faithful and just to forgive me of all unrighteousness. Jesus is the one that qualifies us, and he keeps every one of the commandments. Jesus does that. Sometimes we might say to ourselves, I want the worship team to come. We might say to ourselves, oh, I don't deserve the blessings of God. Correct. But Jesus paid the price that you could get in on the blessings of God. The Bible says that you're a partaker of his divine nature, that you're a part of the inheritance. You've been engrafted in the vine. You're the seed of Abraham. The blessings of God are all over you for this year, for this next year. You don't deserve it, just like you don't deserve salvation, just like you don't deserve forgiveness. To deserve something means that you somehow earned it. You can't earn what God's giving you. It's a free gift. You don't deserve it, but you get it because of what Jesus Christ did for you. And by the way, sometimes we make resolutions and we start new things and then we get into it a couple days and we miss it and we demotivate ourselves. Well, I guess I'll start my diet next year. We're only 6 days in, guys, all right? Come on. Well, I guess, you know, how many have ever said, I'm going to start my diet on Monday? How many Mondays have come and gone? Okay, diet's an easy one for me because I'm dealing with it, right? And I'm working hard at it. But it's an easy one for me to pick on. So I'm not picking on anybody here. But whatever it is, you start off, you're trying to do something right. And it's easy to just kind of stumble and fall and trip. But here's the thing is get back up on. Start over again. You can start. And by the way, you're never too old to begin again. Let me say it one more time. You're never too old. I know people who say, oh, I used to. Quit living in the old days. Today is the day that Jesus has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. The old days were the old days. They were good days. They were wonderful days. Rejoice over it. But listen, God has something brand new for you today. Today. I didn't ever think I was going to even live to the year 2000. I remember back in the day thinking, God, the year 2000, that's so far away. Here we are. We're almost 20 years into that. I mean, wow, I can still learn something from the Lord. It's never too late. And here's a scripture for you this morning. It's not in your notes, I don't think. The Bible says, when Abraham was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to him and said, I am the Lord Almighty. I'm Almighty God. Walk and live habitually before me and be perfect, blameless, wholehearted, and complete. 99 years old, God comes to Abraham and says, walk habitually before me. Habitually before me. That means you start building habits. And it goes on to say, and it almost sounds demotivational. Okay, I can walk and live habitually. And then he says, be perfect, blameless, wholehearted, and complete. Well, I can't do that. No, you can't. Not on your own. That's why you need to walk humbly before God, habitually before God. Start today. New habits. Determine in your heart. Make a determination. This year is going to be the greatest spiritual year of my life. Spiritual, emotional, physical, family, whatever. Set some goals up and then begin to hold yourself accountable. This is going to be your greatest year. I'm believing for greater things in your life. And I know this, Bethel family, I can promise you this. If we will commit to living habitually before God, we will know His purpose and God will take us into the greater things of God. And not only that, no matter what happens this year, you will be so sustained by the peace that surpasses all understanding because you stayed close to God.